Welcome to the Minimal Mom Podcast. Dawn reaches a million women each month with practical tips to simplify your home. Today, Dawn is joined by Casey Von Stein, known online as Miss Freddie, a professional photo organizer who has helped thousands of overwhelmed moms tame their photo chaos. During her 10 years as a professional photographer, she realized what her clients truly needed was help managing and using their photos. She took the organizational skills she fine-tuned as a photographer and created simple workflows that allow her clients and students to discover the joy in their photos again.
Well, Casey, let's just cut right to the chase. For any woman that is listening right now and is feeling totally overwhelmed by their digital photos, whether it's on their phone or their computer, what would be one just important tip that you could give them? Like, if you don't have time to do anything else, but you could do this one thing, what would be one of your best tips? We're just going to start out with that.
Yes. So the most common thing I see people do when they want to start any photo-related project or organizing work is they go straight to the junk and they start deleting up screenshots or accidental photos, those kinds of things. And the problem is you run out of steam, right? Like You can do that for so long, you get tired, and then you didn't make progress towards what actually mattered to you. So I tell people the opposite of what feels natural. That is, ignore the junk. You have a very limited amount of time to work on these projects. And so if you instead focus on the positive, what were the photos that you loved? Well, let's heart those. Let's favorite the photos we love. We can put those in an album. That's sort of curating your collection to make it easier to use, which is the goal. If your goal is to get these in a photo book or to get them in a calendar for grandma, then you'll have that album of your favorites that I'm favoriting that makes them way easier to use. And the junk is something we can always return back to if we need to.
Yeah, because that's the fear, actually, is that I'm going to lose the super important photo. I was gonna say if my phone gets lost, but that doesn't even matter anymore because things are getting backed up. But if for some reason the whole internet went crazy and I lost all my photos, like, that's the fear, is that I'm going to lose the most precious ones. So if we could at least get on top of archiving the most important ones, and many have the goal of making like a yearbook for each year, but that is such an overwhelming task. But if throughout the year you've been hearting them, then all of a sudden that's not so bad. And even though you might not get all of your photos organized this year, if you could get a book done, you would really feel like you're winning at this.
You are winning. Yes. Yeah. And it, like, if you have 300 photos you favorited for the year and they're in an album, it feels so much easier to make a book when you're looking at 300 versus I took 3,000 pictures this year. Oh, it's so messy. I'm never going to make that photo book. And so if you can shift that limited amount of time we have to focus on favoriting, you can build that collection that is most important to you. And then even one level deeper than what you said about fear of losing things, that's where you can make your legacy, right? If you want to, if your kid's going off to college and you want to give them a flash drive of the best photos, you just take that album and then you can move it. You know that you had the best in there and that's good enough. Yeah. And so it just makes everything easier to use if you have curated the best items. And that doesn't mean you need to spend all the time deleting the junk to make that happen.
Yeah, that's so good. And this is actually something I did. I started last year, was hearting the favorites. And Tom's sisters make a calendar every year for that side of our family. And so every November, they're like, hey, upload your, like, they have a shared Shutterfly account or whatever. Go in and upload your photos. And every year I have to spend like over an hour trying to like find these photos. Not this year because I had them started, right? And I was like, that took 3 minutes because of that like small proactive step that you can do when you're driving. Like, you're not driving, someone else is driving, or the kids are, you're waiting for the kids.
Carpool line or waiting a soccer practice. It just takes a few minutes here and there. It doesn't have to be, if you can get into that practice, it makes all of the enjoyment of your photos easier, like you said. And one little tiny tech tip is if you're just favoriting, then you can use search and filters in search to gather those. So you can put 2023, comma, favorites into search and it will just show you those favorites so that the favorites you made in 2018 and all those other things.
Right.
So just the act of favoriting, you then can add other elements in search like the word favorites or a time period, and you could use those to create more custom albums if you needed to get more specific, or you can put a face. That's fun. Oh, like, that's when it was my son's 10th birthday, I did favorites, comma, Colin. Yeah. And then I could see all the good ones of him. So favoriting is the first step. And then these are all the possibilities that come out of it.
Well, and actually that's what I have to remind myself too, is that there is the search feature, because that's, you know, often people approach digital clutter the same way they do physical clutter. And they're like, I just have to sort through it all. And it's like, well, actually digital is a little bit different because you can search for it. And even if you don't know, I mean, it's quite remarkable. The kids wanted to know the other day when they started Taekwondo. And I'm like, well, I know I have a picture of their first testing, so that would give us a clue. And so I searched karate, and there all the pictures showed up, right?
It's unbelievable now how it's a little easy scary. Things are. It's a little scary, but we're using it for good.
Yeah.
And good. That really helps. Yeah, search is unbelievable, and it's getting better and better. So
now, another tool that you have shared. So if we do want to start sorting through our photos on our phone, you had shared an app called Good Ones. Is that what it's called?
It was called Good Ones. They rebranded as Ollie now. Ollie the octopus is the photo assistant. Yeah, Ollie. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll link to anything that we mention. And again, Casey, we're just going to like skim the surface in our conversation today. You have so many great resources. So everyone should follow you on Instagram just to get like daily tips and motivation. But you have some great courses for those that are ready to go a little bit deeper. But so this app, what I really like about it is it helps you sort through all of your photos on your phone, but it gives you a daily goal of how many photos you're going to go through. And it reminds you when it's time to go through your photos for the day. So initially I had it set for like 10 photos, and it was amazing. Like it pulls up 10 photos, and then you can plus it or minus it. I don't exactly remember, but keep ones you want, get rid of duplicates or the not so good ones.
Yeah. So the advantage of using Ollie is that there's AI built in. So it's doing a little bit of suggestions for you. So if you're someone who just feels paralyzed by making the decisions between similar photos, there's 10 photos of the kid blowing out the candles on the cake, and you just can't pick a favorite, Ollie is a good tool because it uses AI to be like, oh, this one has eye contact and it's in focus and has, it's not blurry, you know, like it has some, it's not saying that to you, but it's saying, this is Ollie's recommendation. You can accept or you can make your own. And so it feels like someone's helping you, mm-hmm. you know, and it's giving you goals and it's cheering you on, yeah. and it's sort of gamifying the cleanup process. Yes. So it is creating the favorites. It's hearting the ones that you're marking in that app. And then it's simultaneously deleting the junk. So it's sort of taking that first step I said of favoriting and gamifying it, but then also adding a cleanup element into it.
The other thing I would say about picking the best photo is, so one way I'm managing my digital inventory now is that when I'm taking photos of things, I like have a 2-photo rule for myself now.
Yes.
Like, I never take more than 2 photos of any pose thing, anything that we're doing, because I realized that it doesn't actually matter if there is a perfect smile or everybody's looking, or it's more about capturing what was going on at that time. And often when they're not perfect, they tell a much better story later on when you're looking back at it, rather than like everyone having to be perfect and always picking the perfect photo.
Yes. I think everyone's a little different in this area. Like mm-hmm. I have minimalist tendencies. Clearly you have minimalist yeah. tendencies. And so like, we're fine with taking fewer photos. That yeah. feels good to us. Some people that's really hard. They just keep shooting and shooting. And so that's where favoriting is even more important. Cause if you take 20 from the scene at the park, it's nice to just have one favorited. Whereas you and I might only take one,
yeah.
which makes our lives easier. Once you kind of come to that realization, you're like, wow, if I don't take as many photos, I don't have mm-hmm. to make as many decisions later.
Right.
Yeah. Like, cut it off at the source.
Yes. Cause you know, I know too, like often when I talk about kids' artwork or things, and a lot of moms will say, oh, just take a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, but that is still inventory that you have to manage. It's a different form. It's a little easier, but that is still something that we feel a sense of obligation to then later archive it somehow or to deal with it. And so I even shy away from that whole idea of, oh, just take a picture of it, because it's still something I have to manage. And we can't archive every moment of our children's childhoods, right? There is a
yes. one.
We will miss it. There will be some gaps, and that is absolutely okay.
I know, right? We grew up with our parents using film to take pictures of us, and there was a cost associated with it. And so they had to be so much more intentional with what they photographed and developed, and we are all okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah. And honestly, I enjoy having a small curated collection and not having thousands. But again, that's me. So, you know, I don't know. So, Casey, we know that part of the reason that photos, why it feels hard and big is that there's so much emotional connection for us, whether it's old photos we're going through or these newer ones that we're taking now. So can you share a story of how you help women organize their photos and what effect that has on their emotional well-being and on their life?
Yes. My favorite part of my job is when I finish a digital organizing project for a client and they come back and say like, oh my gosh, all of my kids' newborn photos were in this library. I haven't seen this for years. I was able to sit down with the now 15-year-old and like we scrolled through their newborn photos together. And so we're unearthing things that have been buried by everything that we've done recently and finding some really great old memories. And so I love to hear those stories of things that they hadn't seen in a long time. They're rediscovering maybe things that they thought were lost. I can't make promises that I'm recovering lost memories, but often I will bring in things to a collection that people will say, oh my gosh, I thought that these were long gone. I didn't know they existed anymore. And so I love to hear those stories. And I also love to hear when people are telling me how they're using them. Like, oh my gosh, our Apple TV is displaying our memories. And I keep catching my kids standing in front of it, watching these moments. Or, oh, I made a photo book after you organized my stuff. And I caught my kid sitting on the front porch, showing it to the neighbor the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so, it's such rewarding work.
Yes.
It's a great reminder that our photos are not a burden. They feel that way with how many we have in the mess that we have right now, but they are such a blessing. And so it's a little bit of a mindset shift there to like, remember the blessings of moments that I wanted to remember.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. So, okay, well, let me give you this scenario, because when our kids were really little, I had no capacity to make photo books or yearbooks or anything like that. And now as they're getting older, our oldest just turned 14 and I'm feeling very nostalgic and like, oh my goodness, she's growing up too fast. And have we like archived our, you know, all the years well? And I'm like, I think it'd be really cool to have a yearbook from each year. And so I have 3 different phones with photos. I had a Pixel phone and then I had an iPhone and then I, you know, we have some in Google Photos, some in iPhoto, some on Tom's phone, some on a hard drive. So where would I even begin with pulling everything together so I could start to make these books by year?
Yes, that you just described the scenario of every client I work with. That is the norm and it's not something you did wrong. It is the norm. And so where I tell people to start is creating a hub that holds all of your photos. It's hard work, right? You have to sit down and dedicate the time to gather all those sources you just listed into one place. That's what my backup bootcamp course is. It's picking where your hub's gonna live, gathering with tutorials from all the different places that you might have. And then once it's in one place, you can use technology to make all of the rest of the steps easier, right? You can use a duplicate finding software to clean up the overlap if your phone's overlapped or your husband's and yours overlapped. You can use sorting software to sort it all by date. And then that's where you could use all the fun stuff too, like facial recognition to find all the photos of your daughter. That could be a really nice activity to do together. If she is interested in this type of work, it could be like, all right, well, this weekend we're going to spend an hour reviewing our 2012 photos and you can help me decide what's going to go into our yearbook, or you can lay out them on the pages if she's into that kind of creative side of things. So definitely varies based on the child, but that might be a bonding activity.
No, I think actually our oldest would really enjoy that. And I think too, even as you're speaking, because so I love that you have backup bootcamp. So for those that need a game plan and step-by-step, I think something I think about too is that I feel like I need to set aside like a whole weekend to do this or a week, because I lose my place or I start importing things and moving stuff and then I get pulled away. And then I'm like I literally one time was uploading from my laptop to, I don't know, Google Photos. And then I went away from the Wi-Fi and I'm like, oh no, I forgot I was uploading.
Where did I leave off?
So now they're still all on. I still can't delete them off my laptop like I wanted, even though my hard drive's full. But I don't know which ones have been uploaded and not. So is it possible to do this in smaller chunks of time, or do we really need to set aside like a week?
That's the beauty of bootcamp, is their lessons and steps. And so it is a little easier to pick up and leave off. So you could be like, I'm just going to complete the centralizing lesson today, or I'm just going to complete this downloading from Google Photos, whatever the activity is, it gives you a little bit more of like a where did I start or stop. And so you're not restarting the project every time.
Let's talk a little bit about our physical photos too. So what do you recommend? I mean, are you a proponent of you scan everything in, or how, again, if we were say first step, just one step, if you wanted to tackle this coming up, where would you recommend they start?
Yeah, so again, this is going to come down to personality. I'm more of a minimalist. And so for me, it felt good to digitize everything and then pare down. So I got down to just one box of the stuff that I absolutely wanted to keep. Mm-hmm. But for some people, that's not the goal, right? They just want to digitize. So maybe they can use some of the tech advances or the facial recognition once they have this stuff digitized. So it's going to be personal preference, but in general, I recommend people just start by cataloging what you have, like maybe get it all into one place. And then if you are going to be doing the scanning yourself, you can say, well, this weekend I'm just working through this box, and next weekend I'm working for that box. So this can feel huge.
Yeah.
And any way you can make it feel smaller by saying this weekend I'm only focused on this box or okay. This envelope, that really will help you move through. I would also suggest outsourcing it, right? Like not everybody has the skill set or the desire or the time to sit and scan all of these. And so it is something that might be better sent, or ask your teen to help if they're interested in that, pay them per photo. I offer scanning services too, but you'd ship it to me. And sometimes that's a hurdle for people too, when they're talking about their memories.
Yeah. And I know many people have, I'm glad you said that you might need to outsource it, because I know many have agreed to be the family historian. Maybe someone passed away or you inherited certain photos and you're like, in the moment when there's grief and you're sad, it's like, okay, I will take on scanning them in and getting a copy to everyone. I'll upload them, or I'll put them on DVDs or whatever. And now here we are a few years removed and the boxes of photos are there, and we just feel this weight that we didn't do that. And so I think it's good to give permission to say, it's if you had really good intentions, but if you're not actually able to do that and to take on that project, it is actually okay to go back to your family and say, I'm really sorry, I'm not able to do this. Does somebody else want to? Or, I mean, do you have any other recommendations?
Yeah. My advice would be, we're going to outsource this. Like maybe I don't have the scanner, and so I'm going to outsource this to somebody, and we're going to split the cost, you know, like the whole family is going to enjoy this. So if you are going to do it yourself and you want to buy the scanner, maybe you say, okay, well, siblings, we're going to split the cost. But I think you brought up a really good point with grief. I think when there's grief involved, it makes all of this work so much harder, because you said you were heavy, but the heavy is emotional too, right?
Oh yeah.
And so that can be a great place to realize that I can outsource this to somebody so that I don't have to unpackage all of the emotional side of this too. So
that's awesome. Cause I think too, for, you know, people that might be feeling a burden of this, is if you go to your family and say, hey, we're going to split the cost, maybe all of a sudden they would say, meh, like that's, it would help to gauge how important the project
doesn't matter to me.
Or maybe someone would say, okay, well, I'll take it on because I have some time. It's isn't it funny how when there's all of a sudden it's going to cost other people something that they might be like, oh, now we understand. Or maybe everyone will be like, hey, of course we'll chip in because this is so important to us and we do have a value for it. But it could help gauge.
Situation. Good point. Cause it doesn't matter to everybody.
It is true. And I do know, you know, a lot of women will say, well, my adult kids, they don't care or they don't want it. Do you think it's, in your experience, is it that they don't care or they don't want to be burdened with boxes and boxes of photos, but yet if you gave them a special photo book, then they actually would be interested in them?
Yeah, I think different generations just see it differently. They see all the photo books and albums and things that we've accumulated and that are collecting dust, and they're saying, I don't want that. But I think if you do that work of curating it for them, or you're like, oh, here, all your images are on this flash drive, you can do with it what you want. And the flash drive's not adding clutter. So I think if you, you know, have done that work and made special books, they might feel more attachment to those. But even if you haven't, if you compare it down, I don't think they're going to turn down a flash drive that has all their childhood memories on it. Right. Everybody cares about that.
Yes. Well, and let's talk about backing up then, because the fear ultimately is that we're going to lose everything. So even as you're saying flash drive, it's like, well, yes, but where else is it saved? So you talk about having three different ways that things are backed up, which kind of horrified me, if I'm going to be honest. I'm like, oh, that is so much. So walk us through the three backups that you recommend.
So we already talked about making a hub that has all of your things in it.
And just real quick to clarify, like when you say hub, what might that be? Like Dropbox or a photo service or...
For most Mac users, I would say that hub is Apple Photos because that's what it's built to be. You bring all your things in it and then your phone, because of iCloud, it's the same. So Apple Photos is a great hub. Dropbox could be a hub. Google Photos could be a hub. A hard drive could be a hub if you don't want cloud-based things. So the importance is just that you decide what the primary copy is. You decide what that hub is, because that's where your focus goes. So if you're trying to do cleanup work, you're doing that in your primary hub. If you're trying to do facial recognition, you're doing it there. If you're favoriting, you're doing it there. You have one place you're working, and then backups can be automated or can just be checked in periodically. So you can automate the backup by using a service like Backblaze or Google Photos will back up your phone, or Amazon Photos will back up your phone. There's so many services, but you don't need to spend your time cleaning up and organizing those services. You put your efforts in the primary hub. So you are interacting with your photos one place, and then the backups are automated, or you check in on them once a year or something.
Okay. And then, so we have our hub, we have a backup. Did you say three places?
Three is my preference, and one of those I want to be not cloud-based and like local on the computer. So I like having an external hard drive that when it's not cloud-based, then, you know, if someone hacks your cloud or whatever, they can't get at this hard drive that's yours. So I'm a big proponent of having three total copies. One is local in your possession, like a hard drive, and then at least one is offsite, like a cloud, so that, you know, if there's a fire or a flood in your office, you don't have to run and grab all your things.
That actually feels practical. So, and I know, like, I've heard sometimes people say, like, well, hard drives go bad over time or if they get dropped. So again, that's why we're having three.
We're not putting all our eggs, all our faith on that hard drive, because if it crashes, which they do, well, we can go to Dropbox or Google or wherever the backup was and bring it back. So I think the hard work is making that hub, but it makes everything feel less overwhelming. Once you have your photos in one place, you can finally feel confident in your backup. So if you have your full hub and then you make a copy on a hard drive, you can feel so much more confident. What I see people doing is, I'm panicked that I'm going to lose my photos, so I heard Google was good and I'm going to install it and I'm just going to put my stuff there, and then it gets full and then they have to pay for more, and then they're afraid to downgrade out of Google because I don't know what's there. And then, oh, I heard Amazon was good, and so I'm going to install Amazon. And you never feel confident in any backup. But when you make your hub, you can just feel this piece of, okay, here's everything I'm dealing with. Now let me make copies that I can see at every place.
That's really good. So, you know, I mean, we've all just made a big mess out of all of our photos, you know, like we talked about. So, but what do you see on the horizon? Like, what trends do you see coming up? Is it going to get easier to manage this in the future?
Yes, I am really excited about what's coming with AI. I mean, it's transformed everything. We've heard so much about it this year, but how it can look in our photo world is, we talked about Ollie briefly, but Ollie is AI helping you clean up your photos. Well, maybe the next phase is we click a button and, you know, it's all cleaned up for us, or we click a button and it lays it out in a photo book for us. I mean, where AI can take us with these collections is going to simplify things. We just have to see what's coming.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, use it for good. I think, you know, even I heard, like, the new Pixel phone, if you take five photos, it'll combine all the, like, of a group, it'll combine all the smiling faces or whatever. And, like, some of us, I think I'm just like, come on, could we make our lives any more fake, you know? Like, and so, but I think you're right. Like, it's, we'll use the good things that come with it, and we don't have to use all the other stuff. But
yeah, but if it can, I mean, if we click a button and it puts all the photos that it thinks are best in a photo book in 30 seconds, think of how much easier that is than now when I spend a couple hours making a book a year.
So again, Casey, where can everyone find you? What are your best resources that you have to offer?
I'm definitely the most active on Instagram. So I'm miss.freddy on Instagram, and I share tips and tricks there for free. And then I have paid resources. If you'd like to take one of my courses, you can find more about that at missfreddy.com. All of my courses are self-paced. They include access to future updates. You can take them at your own time. And then if you really want to just hand this over to a pro, you can find information about my one-on-one services, where I'll do all this work for you, on my website as well.
Awesome. Well, I feel a little lighter and a little more hopeful. So I do think we can get this under control. It might take a little time, but I think you've laid out a good game plan. So thank you.
Yes. And your teenager is going to be so excited that I just signed her up to make 12 years of your books.
Yes, that's awesome.
Thank you for joining us on the Minimal Mom Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend who might find value in embracing a simplified lifestyle.